T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Was Club Dub open for business?
What do you think? It was rocking and rolling, man. That thing was going. And that 5 minutes right there, guys, you know what that's all about. And that Absolutely. 5 minutes is for those players. And they enjoy that. They love it. But now that's good to play the way we did. But now we know, okay, let's enjoy it tonight. Let's get right back on track and get ready for the ramp.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Bears head coach Matt Nagy on WBBM. This hour on The Score brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Boomer Esiason had to move from today to tomorrow. We've got Ian Eagle at 3:40, Eddie Jackson at 5 o'clock, and Moby Ditka will be in studio once he gets back from House Hall as well.
Indeed, yes. So you got a chance to experience full-blown Bears mania. It had been 42 days since a Bears post-game show produced happy Bears fans since the Vikings win in Week 4, so I assume everybody was glowing, right?
Oh,
or not?
No, or not. Listen, the post-game show is it's a beast in and of itself, right? And you got, but not just the hosts. I mean, callers, hosts, ex-players, hub, everything.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Callers, most specifically.
Oh, they had the hosts were very critical as well.
Yeah.
Very critical. I mean, come on.
Okay.
7-3 and outs and
2-for-12 in third down.
Yeah, barely eking by a win against the Matt Stafford-less Lions team. It was, Tanny and I were talking, like, did they win? Did they lose? I mean, it was Bears post game in all of its glory.
That 18-yard run by T.J. Hockenson, where three good Bears players, Prince Amukamara, Khalil Mack, and I'm not sure who was the third, all missed him, and he goes for 18 yards. Just sloppy ass tackling. And just
Hockenson, the tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
an 18-yard gain late.
Yeah.
Kept their drive going.
I think he's going to be a really good player. I think their offense should be really good, by the way. Like, if with Stafford and Marvin
and
Jones,
Kerryon Johnson, and all the guys they were missing.
Well, right. But I mean, Galladay and Jones and Hockenson makes up for a really good passing attack.
All right. Galladay dropped a few balls yesterday that were not very challenging, really. I mean, he got turned around a few times, but there were a few where he should have had the ball.
I think he's having a top five fantasy season this year. I mean, his stats have been pretty damn good. I think they're not the best receiver duo in the NFL, but they're...
No, they're not. They're, I got the same.
But they're really good. It's top five, top six.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm just not a Kenny Galladay guy. All right. We're learning things about each other.
We're learning. And I learned some things about him yesterday. Like he went to St. Rita High School, right?
Yes, he did.
How about that?
Yeah, Northern
Galladay coming off a 4-catch, 132-yard, 1-touchdown performance in that loss in Oakland last week. Local guy, St. Rita High School here in Chicago. Same high school as Ray Manzarek of the Doors.
Really?
Yeah.
There it is. The heart and soul of the Doors. The keyboard player from St. Rita and DePaul. The late, great Ray Manzarek.
No movie quotes, but you got your music reference in the game yesterday.
I did get a music reference. Yeah, I figure Dan Fouts is older than I am, and Ian Eagle and I are probably close in age, so I appreciate Ian Eagle keeping the greatest music ever produced alive yesterday during an NFL broadcast. That's a deep cut, too. Ray Manzarek, wow. I mean, rockers know his significance, but that's not a household name. That was a pretty good pull on his part to give during a football game.
Do you think that was the song that was bumping in Club Dub?
I doubt it.
I
doubt it.
I do as well. We'll talk to Eddie Jackson about Club Dub at 5 o'clock. But
I am a Club Dub advocate yesterday. I thought it was absolutely you should do that. Why wouldn't you do that? That's what this group has been doing when they win.
Of course. Now, if they were 0-10 and then they won a game to get to 1-10.
All the more reason to do it.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah, I would have no problem with it. I like Celebration. I like personality, and I love that Celebration makes some people mad. And Club Dub was turned into a verb. Like they, it was like they were debating run or pass for a play call, or like to go for it or not to go for it. It was to dub or not to dub. That is the question.
And Kurt is hanging in, it looks like Minnesota. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Hanging in, bud.
Good. Hey, so I piggyback off of the last caller to a degree. Yeah, a win's a win, but this was just an ugly, ugly, ugly win. To go back onto the Club Dub thing, this was a team that was projected by everyone across the country, including many on the 670 The Score, to be a Super Bowl contender. And you're going to Club Dub this win? You're going to Club Dub this win, guys? Come on. Come on. I'll hang up and let you guys go.
Wait for Hub.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. You know, I think the least of my concerns is Club Dub. I understand what you're saying. I understand what Pat and Kat are saying, and I agree wholeheartedly, by the way. I would not have done it. But, you know, I'm sure that Matt's explanation tomorrow is I've got to give these guys something to feel better about.
I love the idea. Listen, I would not have done it.
Not been my choice.
I want to be on the record right now as saying I would not have Club Dub.
Can't endorse or condone this sort of behavior, but...
Well, because Kat and Manley earlier in the show were basically saying that that Allen Robinson should have stopped the Club Dub. That a veteran on the team should have come in and said, no, we're not celebrating.
What are they supposed to do? Put on the game from last week to see how they lost to Philly? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Live in the moment.
I agree with
winning
you.
These games
club
is,
dub?
Yes, I will club
win?
Dub, Minnesota boy. Keith, is that his name?
It was Keith, yeah.
Keith in Minnesota.
Kurt.
Kurt.
Kurt, Keith. To dub or not to dub, Mac?
Man, sports fans. We're so often just...
It's the best.
How do we all get happy at the same time, right?
That's right.
They win a game and you're upset. Yeah, it was ugly. Sure, it was ugly. You know, it's difficult to win in the NFL, even against lousy teams. Even Jeff Driscoll can pain your ass now and again.
312-644-6767. And next up is Ali, who is calling from Elgin. Ali, how you doing?
Hello?
Hello, Ali. How you doing?
How's it going, big guys?
Good.
Hey, we got a win. A win's a win. You know, it tastes good. As of right now, I would close Club Dub for the next few games until we earn the right to have it open.
No.
You got to earn the right to go into
what?
Club Dub.
Oh, boy.
Texter, Club Dub for meaningless wins is the most millennial thing ever.
There's no such thing as a meaningless win in the NFL. That's not how they look at it. It's been 6 weeks. What do you want them to do? Be dour over the last four losses? Is that what they should do? Would that make you happy?
Apparently.
No, we're not even going to high five. We're not even going to shake hands. We're all going to go our own separate ways and feel sorry for ourselves. Feel bad because we blew four straight games. What are you supposed to do?
I love the seriousness of it. Guys, I was thinking about it, and I would just like to say I would not have Club Dubbed.
You're going to Club Dub this win?
That's so good.
Close Club Dub.
Close.
What? Oh, jeez.
It's a health inspection violations at Club Dub.
And the ex-athletes, too, say
oh, yeah.
No dub.
Big Cat, not a fan of Club Dub after meaningless wins. So there were players on his team that would have shut it down.
I shut it down. You and I don't think they're going to the playoffs. We think it's fool's gold, right? That's what I term it, fool's gold.
I'd maybe bet them at 20-1 to make the playoffs.
That aside, I try to look at it through their eyes, and you absolutely treat each week like it's its own season. This is the Rams week season. But yesterday, after beating a divisional opponent, I don't care how ugly it is, You behave like you – it's an important win. It's the only win you could have had yesterday. You go ahead and dub it up.
Close Club Dub, Mob.
You're going to Club Dub this win,
Mob.
Wow.
You let the mob in Club
Free
Dub.
Free Club Dub. Come on, people. They won the game. They should be celebrating. They should be dancing.
Matt Nagy had the look of fear on his face when we were down 6-0 before we ended up putting up 7.
And we learned yesterday that sometimes Matt Nagy has to guard against pressing, too. He has to remind himself not to press.
I enjoyed that.
Wow.
That was, I'm sure, what the caller was referring to, his look of fear. Danny and I were driving back. I'm like, he had a look of fear. My God. We're closing the club. The coach is scared. Our pets' heads are falling off. We can't even celebrate a win. It's terrible out here, man.
You celebrate, and, you know, which I'm not going to – I would prefer the defense doesn't celebrate, like, in an orchestrated manner after every takeaway. I would prefer they save those for touchdowns, but I'm not going to jump up and down about it. That used to be when you could do it, when everybody goes to the end zone and you orchestrate the things you practice during the week. Do them after defensive touchdowns, after every takeaway. Eh.
Listen – these guys are just having fun. These are the smallest issues of our time, right?
To dub or not to dub?
to dub or not to dub is the. It is just totally irrelevant. And you got to have some fun. Like, you want them to play with swagger, right? As a defense, you want them to play with some sort of confidence.
Yes.
This is what they do. Part of what Matt Nagy Mob installed here was he changed the culture. That's part of it. It's why the defensive players like him. Put defensive players in on offense. They do their little ice cream thing where they make fun of him for how he says peanuts, and then they do a little dance-off on Saturday morning.
He has problems with peanuts.
He does, but this is why the guys like him. It's why the players are standing behind Matt Nagy. This is all part of it. Celebrate the win. Have fun. Be yourself. Show personality.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
That's right.
773 texter says, this is as bad as a player celebrating after a tackle when the team is down on points in the game. Get back in the effing huddle and worry about the next play. Football's an emotion game. Emotional game, 773 texter. As long as they are back in the huddle in time to get the call, let them jump up and down a little bit and slap each other in the helmet. It's an emotional game. You don't take that out of it. You got to be excited when you play the game.
I think so, too. And it's just, listen, they're underachieving. They're not going to make the playoffs, but it still is their livelihood and their profession, and they still put all week into these games. They get 16 of them.
Yes.
They're going to celebrate, right? They're going to celebrate when they win. And this is how this team celebrates.
So it's unanimous on this show. We endorse club. Now, is it everybody? Do you guys also endorse it? Or, Danny, did you have a dub problem yesterday?
Oh, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes that you don't have to worry about. Doing it. You don't have to be part of it.
That's right.
It's only Shep, 5 minutes. I'm sure we all waste 5 minutes easily every day or every hour for some of us.
I could not give less of a bleep about if the Bears celebrate.
You're not offended by it. Or if they go
and they sit in their locker stall and say, okay, we snuck out a victory against the bum-ass Lions. I don't care how they celebrate it. Just win football game.
Like in the words of Michael Irvin, don't lose. You know, same intensity. Like, you know, when the Cubs are celebrating, well, they won't do it anymore because Madden's gone, but celebrating after every, you know, 162 games, after every victory. Like, be mad at that as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because this is a football game. This is like, you know, a couple car accidents that your players are getting involved in every game. Let them celebrate for 5 minutes.
And, I mean, they already got mocked for it by John Gruden. So they all know that they're getting mocked. And if they still want to do
stop us from beating you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and they did.
Yeah, they have, largely. Yeah,
the Raiders did stop them, and then they...
So have most of the other teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Walter didn't need to celebrate touchdowns. Act like a grown man, says a 480 texter.
That's good.
No, Walter didn't need to celebrate him. All he had to do was whine when he didn't get one in Super Bowl 20.
Like a true Chicago Bear legend.
Actually, he would throw the ball to the offensive linemen, and they would spike the football. So, I mean, that was his way of saying thanks for paving the way, Reavy Sori.
It's so good. It's just where we are. Like, as we spiral towards a 6-10 season, this is where the Bears find
themselves.
You're
going to club dub this win?
You're going to club dub it.
It's a verb.
Oh, goodness.
It's a verb.
Well, you say 6-10.
Yeah.
Yesterday was one that I didn't think was going to go their way, so I think they might get to 7. They're going to beat the Giants.
They're going to beat the Rams?
I don't think so.
Watch the Rams yesterday?
Yeah.
Not exactly inspiring.
That wasn't one that I dialed in on very much. I had other interests, but Yeah, they could beat the Rams. I don't think they will, but I think they could. Nothing would surprise me in that game. You have two very unpredictable quarterbacks, two very pedestrian quarterbacks. One of them could have a big day. They both do now and again, and one of them could be really bad. Both of them could be really bad.
Yeah, both of them could be terrible. The Rams are 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I don't think they'll block Aaron Donald like they did last year either, by the way. I think he'll have a much more productive day.
No, everything's problems are solved. Cody Whitehair's back at center. James Daniels.
Just him getting the ball to the quarterback's the only issue now.
That's the old problem that's new again.
That's where Daniels played well last year, playing left guard against 99. He basically single blocked him the entire game.
This segment on The Score brought to you by Amazon. And we want to take some calls here on a Built for Tough Bears Monday, Mac.
Sure, why not?
Bill has been waiting patiently in South Shore. Bill, you're on The Score.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Parkins, man, the players aren't behind Nagy because they do club dub. They're behind Nagy because if they're going to talk bad about the coach in the media or otherwise, they're going to be taking a seat more than likely unless they're, you know, one of the stars on the team.
So you don't think the players like Nagy?
That's not what I said. You said that they're behind him partially because of things like club dub. They're going to be behind him because, one, they're professionals. Two, they're trying to earn a living, and they're trying to, make a name for themselves this year and forever in terms of their career. And as far as Nagy goes, Matt Nagy is essentially, to me, one of the goofiest coaches. I've been on that since he came out. Since he came up, the man basically exudes nervousness constantly. Okay, you can't even see him at the podium without getting way bent out of shape with just general upfront questions such as why you left the Lions in field goal range, among others this year and other years. And moving forward, okay, Pace is licking his lips at schedule, knowing they're going to go probably 8-8 or maybe even 9-7, and then you're going to be stuck with these guys moving forward. And no team that I root for, like the old Bulls teams or anyone else, is going to be celebrating club dub because, you know what, they're too big of a gangster and too big of a champion to be doing some goofy stuff like that.
I have like no less than 7 follow-up questions. Who's a gangster in this analogy, and they're getting to 9 wins? What?
They might get to 9 wins when you look at that schedule. And when I'm talking about gangster, I'm talking about teams that you look up to. Bill Belichick, you're going to have Bill Parcells. None of these coaches are going to be leading their players saying, okay, let's club dub after you look absolutely ridiculous for more than 60% of the snaps on the year, okay? It just makes you look like a clown.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have more follow-ups?
No,
you
want
to keep going?
No, I'm good. What's your cutoff? I got one more. You said 60% of snaps, they've looked ridiculous. What is the threshold where Bill in the South Shore allows for Club Dub to be opened?
Okay. He's done.
Okay.
Sounds good. He wants to go hear himself on
I just wasn't sure if there was a number. Like, what's the policy? Club dub only when you're above 500?
Oh, I think 85% is probably where Bill was going.
85%.
Yeah. You gotta have a solid B+. Yeah.
Okay.
Does it get awkward once you're eliminated from the postseason, though?
It might get a little awkward. You're going to get mocked. That's fine. Like, as long as you already have been. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's for them. It's not for us.
Just another thing they can use in their us against the rest of the world mentality they're trying to develop there.
Right. Well, that's I heard Bernstein saying he didn't know what Tariq Cohen was doing when he did the quiet down.
What I inferred from the shush mechanic was, hey, you guys are booing us all the time. You know, you can't have it both ways. Don't say a damn word. That's exactly how I interpreted it.
Quiet down.
100%.
That's how you read it also.
We know that these guys are not happy with getting booed at home.
Right.
They are on the record. Eddie Jackson leading the charge. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock. So when they're getting booed early and then Tariq Cohen scores and he's getting cheered, he's saying, no, you're fake. You're not with us. You're a fake Fairweather Bear fan.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I've yet to see somebody win that battle.
Oh, no.
People will forget about it after a while. Forget about it. They'll forget about it after a while. God, it's an overrated movie. But anyway, who cares? Right? Who cares?
I agree, but I'm just...
Oh, who cares?
Listen, if they're going to be bad, for their sake, I would advise them to be likable. So if that quiet down thing is for him and his teammates, fine. If you want to say it behind closed doors, fine.
Have they become unlikable? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm saying if Tariq Cohen publicly, after the game, was asked,
why did you put your hand over there? And he said, because they were booing us now, and those are fake Fairweather fans, and they're not real Bears fans. That would be an unlikable, unadvisable PR move.
It's certainly easier to be likable when you're winning, but the Bears haven't throughout these crises, for lack of a better word, these last 4 or 5 weeks. They haven't really been very likable. I wouldn't go real strong in the other direction and say they've been hateable. Khalil Mack running away from reporters after a couple of games early in the season.
Yep.
Annoying. He doesn't have much to say when he does talk. I don't think, anyway. Grody disagrees on that one, but he thinks he's always got saying something. He must have said something, but they haven't been hateable.
No, they're facing adversity.
Yeah.
This is the first time this collection of players and coaches and executives has faced adversity. I guess the executives faced it a little bit earlier, but they're handling it fine. I'm just saying, I think that's what Tariq Cohen was doing. Mm-hmm. And I am pretty confident in saying that some, I don't know about all, but some on this Bears team are using the hate and the doubt as a chip on their shoulder.
Right, right.
Which is fine.
Yeah, whatever it is. They didn't expect to be here, so you find something convenient to build off of, and even if it's manufactured, you truly don't believe it, you convince yourself that it's the case, and you delude yourself into thinking those things.
Trubisky and the television's turning off or saying they don't know what we've got going on in here. That's just outside opinion. Mm-hmm. The Bears are not the first people to use an us-against-the-world mentality, and they say, we're playing for each other. That's mm-hmm. how so many of these athletes do. You want to say, we're playing for this city and the fans and the Bears organization and the 100th year. They're playing for each other. And that's how the vast majority of teams operate. I don't see anything wrong there. We'll talk to Eddie Jackson about it, though, coming up at 5 o'clock. People want to weigh in. It's a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on the Score. Ian Eagle in 15 minutes. It's Mack and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Blitz. Mahomes jumps in the air and completes it. Look out! Afterburner time. Hardman to the end zone for the touchdown. My goodness, sir. There's some things to look back on this one. The jump pass by Mahomes, and then somehow the rookie Hardman able to work himself free of the secondary.
I mean, watch this. Yep. I'm going to jump to buy a tenth of a second. And you know what that is? It's spatial awareness to say, if I jump here, I can get this ball off for sure because I need that tenth of a second. Because if I keep moving forward, I'm going to run into my lineman.
Romo and Nance on the call, Chiefs Titans. We got a kick out of that spatial awareness.
Sure did. Yeah, it's a brand new catchphrase for draft week. He's got exceptional spatial awareness.
And you know what that is? It's spatial awareness.
It's a lot more fun than hip snap.
Yeah. Did you see Dak Prescott's warm up last night?
I did.
The hip? Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be a pretty good golfer. Get the hips
the way he
through.
Can turn, yeah. Guys who've had spinal fusion surgery don't know what that's like.
No, every single movement that he made, I was like, I don't resemble that species.
No pelvic turn whatsoever.
Bottom of the hour on
it's
the
amazing
Score.
Amazing how we make babies.
Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. On Veterans Day and every day, the Chicago Wolves are thankful for all of the veterans and active duty military who've dedicated themselves to our country's well-being. It was our honor to welcome so many veterans to Allstate Arena Saturday and Sunday for Military Appreciation Weekend. This hour on the Score also brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on 4 tires installed at CarX. Yeah, just another ho-hum, awesome highlight by Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, you know, yesterday.
Yeah, they lost, so there's a saving grace, I guess, but he was magnificent. What did he have? Just another
330-something
yards.
First
half. His first half numbers were just crazy. Those look like Trubisky does after a really good game, and that's 30 minutes of football for that guy.
And then it was nothing for them to—I know it got blocked eventually, and it didn't end up going and winning the game or forcing overtime, but how easy he made it look just to get in range. Okay, you got 13 seconds left. Okay, go complete a pass 30 yards downfield, make it look incredibly easy, and get your team in field goal range in no time.
Obviously, Andy Reid didn't see the Colts game.
That's right. Yeah, he was busy.
Oh, did we have fun with that yesterday? Anytime a field goal came up, whether to kick, not to kick, were you punting here? You going for it? Didn't you see the Colts game?
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
When Matt Nagy allowed the Lions to kick the 54-yarder on that dicey decision, it's like, oh, he learned that from watching the Colts game.
Yeah, don't want to get it. Well, he knows they're not going to get any closer because, you know, when the defense knows you're going to run, you're going to lose 4 yards.
That's exactly right. So
that would have made it what, a 58-yard field. It was a 54-yard field goal.
Yeah, so it would have been.
You know what that is? It's spatial awareness.
Yes, that's exactly
spatial awareness.
Mike Davis has been claimed by your pal Ron Rivera.
He's a Carolina Panther. Good for someone. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who it's good for.
I don't know who that's good for.
And Don Cherry officially fired by Sportsnet. 38 years, end of an era.
A very colorful hockey broadcaster. Many, many years ago, the head coach of the Boston Bruins. I believe they won their first cup under his direction in 1970, I think. But he made comments that were anti-immigrants, right? And something about veterans. I don't want to. We don't have to repeat any of it. But he made some
very
ridiculous.
Very you people-y.
Yeah, like, and literally, he said he called them you people. But also, he
like Colonel Jessup's on the stand.
It's just
you people. All you did was weaken a nation today, Caffey.
I'm certainly not going to claim to be any sort of expert on it, but it feels like every hockey season there's 2 to 3 times a year where there's a headline of Don Cherry says fill in the blank offensive thing. Right? It seems to be happening more and more. This was not the only thing that led to his dismissal.
You're right. I think something germane to what Andrew Shaw got in trouble for a few years ago, I think.
I don't remember. I truly have not read too much about it and don't know it. I just know that Don Cherry has showed up on the wrong side of a headline a handful of times recently.
They love him in Canada, though. I mean, sure. The hockey night in Canada has been huge. What else are they gonna do though? Really, they're gonna watch hockey, right? Yeah
they're probably gonna watch hockey regardless of whether or not Don Cherry is there or
spatial
not.
Spatial awareness.
So I haven't seen the official broadcast assignments yet, but Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts were on Bears Lions Trubisky Driscoll yesterday. 3:25 next week on CBS is Eagles Patriots, so I assume that's Mr. Spatial Awareness Tony Romo and Jim Nantz. Which means, I would assume, that the second team for CBS, Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, will be at noon, Texans-Ravens. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Slight upgrade of quarterbacks from their matchup this week.
You think?
Yeah, I think he might.
Just a little?
Yeah, you might see less of the punter.
No more Pat O'Donnell.
That was precious.
We'll talk to Ian Eagle about what he saw yesterday and what he's looking forward to next week. Ian Eagle from CBS next on The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know what that is? Another three and out for the Bears. And the Blues start early here. Another almost a drop pass. The Bears are tied with the Dallas Cowboys for most drop passes at this point of the season.
Trubisky. Protection holds up. And the ball pops free. Gabriel had it. Would have been enough for a first down. And that is a microcosm of what's been going on with the Bears offensively this season.
No more Pat O'Donnell.
There it was.
God, I love that so much.
Today is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on The Score, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
You know, Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, it's one of the best NFL broadcasts in the game. They get the top games every week. The broadcast assignments come out, and they get Bears and Lions. I'm like, what are they doing here? I was surprised to see him with our game, and then he got 7-3 and outs and a ton of Pat O'Donnell. So I was worried about our guy, Ian Eagle, who's with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Did the Bears bore you, Ian? And thank you for the time.
Man, I believe that is my first punting highlight on a talk radio show in my 22 years of doing NFL. Pat O'Donnell has made the broadcast.
Congratulations. Now you've come full circle.
You've arrived.
You know, and you almost sound a little bit like a local radio guy. You sound dejected listening to more Pat O'Donnell. You easily could be the Bears radio announcer.
No more Pat O'Donnell.
I love it. You captured the spirit of what we've been going through this season.
You know, it's funny. You get these assignments, and look, you parachute in. You're not following along all season. You're bouncing around from city to city to city, and that's a great part of the job, getting to see all these different teams over the course of an NFL season. But part of the requirement in doing the job well is trying to get the pulse of what's happening around the team that you're covering. You can't possibly know everything. And anyone that tries to pretend and tell you that they know everything, that's just not true for a network broadcaster. But you do want to get a feel. And clearly the feel right now with the Bears has been frustration and disappointment and the fact that they have not lived up to expectations. That's not to say the season is over. That's not to say this is a lost year, but that is a reality to what's going on with the Bears right now. At the end of that game, clearly there was more to look at from a positive standpoint. Trubisky looked the part at times, but on the whole, we know that 4-5 after 9 games and the way that they've gone 4-5 is just not going to cut it in the long term.
What were your impressions of the team as you parachuted in?
Well, we went to practice on Friday, and it was a spirited practice. There was good, positive energy from the team. We then sat down with key members of the team, including the head coach, Matt Nagy. And I would say from the two previous times that I've met with Mitch Trubisky, this was by far the most humble that he's been, that he came into this with more of the conjecture that's been out there that he may not be the right guy for the role. And he's dealing with stuff from all angles. Now, I know he's tried to internalize it, and oftentimes when situations like this pop up, the goal is to just keep it in a vacuum, and you talk about your guys, and you talk about the team unity, and everybody fighting for one another. I believe there is that inside the Bears facility, but there's no doubt that the outside forces have played a role, and it's chipped away a bit at his confidence. With that said, look, there are moments, there are flashes where Mitch Trubisky looks like he's an NFL quarterback, but unfortunately, those have been few and far between. Matt Nagy, very likable guy. You sit down with him and you understand that all of his stuff is coming from a positive place. It just looks disjointed, and the offense at times has very much looked broken this year.
Ian, when you sat down with Matt Friday and without cameras rolling,
yep,
you get the impression when he's talking about Mitch Trubisky in a positive way, do you get the impression it's genuine or he's still trying to convince himself maybe that this is the right guy?
Well, I get the impression that this is the situation and the reality. So there's certainly no indicator from him that he's thinking any other way. This is the hand that he signed up for. He took the head coaching job knowing full well who was on the team and what the task was at hand. And yeah, I would tell you that if he did share with us that he doesn't think this is going to work out and he's got some serious concerns, to me, that probably would have been more of a turnoff. His job is to try to figure out how to make this work. And look, I've sat down with plenty of head coaches that have thrown players under the bus without wanting to be quoted. as such, but they'll say it in a private moment with no cameras. That is absolutely not something that you could glean from a conversation with Matt Nagy. He believes that this thing is going to turn in a better fashion, that this is going to get better, that the pieces are there for it to get better. Now, whether or not that actually happens, we don't know yet. But if you're just asking me, simply put, does Matt Nagy still believe that Mitch Trubisky and the Bears can be successful? I think he would pass a lie detector test, yes.
Okay.
Ian Eagle from CBS with us on the McNeil and Parkin show. He was on the call of the Bears game yesterday with Dan Fouts. Do you have Texans and Ravens this week?
I do. I have Cleveland-Pittsburgh on Thursday on the radio, and then Texans and Ravens, that mega QB matchup on Sunday in Baltimore.
That's a bit of an upgrade from Trubisky and Driscoll.
That did not come up in our production meetings. We go one game at a time, guys.
I am curious. You get to see all of these different offenses, and there's a lot of conversation around here on, you know, can Matt Nagy install that Andy Reid, Doug Peterson offense here and make it work? And, like, I'm jealous as a young Bears fan who I've never had a franchise quarterback and had a Bears team led by offense. So I want Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes. Like, what do you think of the staying power of those types of offenses in this league?
Well, let's talk about it on two fronts. First of all, the individual talent. You're talking about three dynamic talents at the position, and there is a real sense of confidence when each of them walk in the room. There's a presence from all three of them. You believe that they're going to be successful because they believe it, and they convey that. There's just an aura there. I'm not overblowing it. It's real. And look, the first game I did for CBS was 1998, and it was Peyton Manning's first game as a pro, Colts and the Dolphins. So I had never been in an NFL production meeting. I walk in, the first guy we meet with is Peyton Manning. So it's his first production meeting, and he walks in, a big guy, looks me right in the eye, knows my name, answers questions intelligently, and has real thoughts behind them, not just spewing out cliches. And he walked out of the room, and I thought, wow, this is going to be a great job. It's the NFL. These guys are really prepared and into it. And I quickly realized that that wasn't the case. It was just that Peyton Manning individually was special and stood out. The three guys that you mentioned, they've got a little of that. So now the second part, which is the offenses that are built around them. Look, all three play callers in those situations are creative, and they're coming up with ways to best use the talent. But the offense doesn't work unless you have those individuals running them. So I know there are many times in the NFL where a player can be a product of the system. I don't think that's the case in any of these instances.
You're saying that those players would be successful, you know, obviously they're highlighted by the system that they're in, but they are individually great, that they'd be good in any system that they're in.
Yes. You take any one of those three players and put them on the Chicago Bears right now, you're talking about a different offense.
Do you remember who won that game, by the way, the Dolphins and Colts, your first game?
Yeah, I do. Dan Marino led the Dolphins to a victory in week one. We actually got a shot of Archie Manning towards the end of the game with his hands over his head in despair. And who knew that that would pretty much be it for Peyton Manning and lowlights. That season didn't go all that well. They were 3-13. They couldn't really protect him, and Peyton had a tendency to turn the ball over. But the next year, they flipped the script. They went 13-3, and obviously a Hall of Fame career took on a life of its own. But yeah, the Dolphins handled the Colts on that day.
Ian, when you know, you got my ears perked up yesterday when you mentioned that St. Rita High School, Kenny Galladay's alma mater. did you know Ray Manzarek? Did you stumble upon that, or are you a big Doors fan?
I am a big Doors fan, so that's my number one group of all time.
No kidding.
But no kidding. That's by far number one. It's not even close. And when I was doing research and I saw that Galladay was from Chicago, obviously I went a little bit deeper. Then I went a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And when Ray Manzarek popped up, for me, that was a no-brainer. If I could work that in, that was a must mention.
Wow. That's you know, you're 8 years younger than I am, and I was too young to see the Doors before it all ended. That's incredible that they would still be your favorite band. That's great.
They still are. When the movie came out, the Oliver Stone movie, I just figured that's the closest I'm gonna come to seeing the Doors. So I went to the biggest theater in Manhattan, the Ziegfeld Theater, which recently closed down, to watch Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison. That's how much of an impact that group had on me for whatever reason.
Very cool. Keep it coming.
As many Doors references as possible, Ian.
Done. I can do one a week. We're good. Forever.
Ian, thank you very much for the time. We enjoyed it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ian.
All right, guys. All the best.
See ya.
That's Ian Eagle with us, McNeil and Parkins.
A product of Syracuse University,
That's
too.
True. I didn't even force
it in. I'm surprised you didn't work that.
I didn't force it in. I've talked to him before, met him before, but yeah, he's part of the WAER alumni base.
For a 50-year-old guy to say the Doors are his favorite act, that's amazing to me. I mean,
I went to the Harvard of this industry, Syracuse.
That's right.
Well before his time. That's pretty cool.
You respect it.
Yeah.
Because that's your era of music.
Well, yeah. And I was too young to even see the Doors. I mean, I kind of stumbled upon them much later than when they were going.
How's that victory chicken, Mac? I'm glad you had some.
Very satisfying, even though I've had 2 out of 12 only were great. But no, it's very, very good. I was just trying to make a bad third down conversion joke for the Bears. But it's fantastic. The pecan pie is what I'm looking forward to sinking my choppers into.
Throughout the month of November, it's Pie It Forward with Joe's Sweet Potato Pecan Pie. Joe's is going to donate $1 from every slice sold to Bears Care, the charitable arm of the Chicago Bears. And this Thanksgiving, you do the turkey and let Joe's do the rest. It's new this year. Joe's is offering large group carryout for Thanksgiving appetizers, salads, sides, and pies. For more information, visit joes.net. That's Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab, of course, located at 60 East Grand Avenue, the corner of Grand and Rush. Again, that's www.joes.net. They bring the victory chicken every Bears victory chicken Monday, which we're hoping we're going to get a few more this year. People say, oh, the Bears don't have anything to play for. Consider us and our chicken from Joe's.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Don't be so selfish.
Yeah, please. Come on. That's what they're going to
Free food.
About.
That's what those clowns need more of.
Exactly. We're going to hear from Moby Ditka in a little bit. Eddie Jackson at 5. It's Mac and Parkins on the score.
Montgomery breaks on through to the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.